Good evening, everyone. happy Sunday. Hi, Clara. I heard Moochie say hi to you today. I'm feeling a little overly peaceful right now, almost like, like I don't want to talk at all, but I'm sure I'll be able to talk. I've just been relaxing, watching a movie, and I'm kind of in a real peaceful heart place, and it's like I don't even want to come out of it to talk. But I will. I will. What movie? Oh, nothing special, actually. Nothing special I'm not even going to say, because I don't want everybody running out and saying, why is she in a peaceful place and thinking it comes from the movie, when actually I just think it comes from the allowing myself to relax. I don't think it's the movie at all. The movie is nothing. It was just doing it, just sitting back and relaxing in that heart place and laughing at a silly little meaningless movie and enjoying something that, you know, didn't mean a thing. That's why I'm happy. But happy Friday, Sunday. Yeah, whatever day it is. okay, so let me come down to planet Earth. I have been watching a movie about a boy that could fly, so maybe I need to come down to planet Earth. I can bring it back together enough to speak. So I go from unable to speak because I feel too still to unable to speak because I'm laughing too hard. Okay. Hi. All right, so we are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And this is the time that we're looking at the personal messages that have been helpful to me. And of course, right now we're looking at those personal messages that have been helpful to Laurent and me. And tonight we're going to look at a message called When You Look at Each Other. And let me give you a link to that message. There you go. There's the link. You say it's the first time you've heard me laugh uncontrollably. Trust me, I do it. Just not maybe on the mic, but sometimes I'll start laughing and everybody around me, you know, wants to know what the heck I'm laughing at, and I can't stop laughing to tell them. And then when I do, it doesn't sound near as funny to them as it did to me. So there we go. The funny thing is, okay, here's the funny thing. I'm actually in a lot of pain right now. Which shows that pain doesn't have to make you unhappy. I have excruciating pain. Excruciating pain in my neck. I don't know exactly why. This morning when I was taking a shower, I just heard this pop. And ever since then, my neck has really, really, really been hurting. I can hardly move. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And I know that it won't last forever. I don't know when it's going to stop, but things like this don't last forever, you know. The only thing that lasts forever is our truth. So Is there a virtual chiropractic? Well, Cheryl's in the room. I don't know if she can do something, but yeah. Your neck is always telling you that you need to let go of something that is not serving you right now. I think that that's a really nice thought, but gosh, if I followed that, I would probably go into some analysis that is completely unnecessary. Yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, stuff happens. Stuff happens. And I think that a part of what we need to do is just learn the difference between who we truly are and the stuff that happens that has no meaning, no reality at all. So, yeah, the fact that the neck hurts doesn't matter to me at all. And like I said, it won't last. And it has no meaning. Remember, Jesus tells us in the Course that our thoughts have no meaning. And I think that's one of the lessons we need to take seriously and quit putting meaning where there is none. So yeah, the neck hurts, but it doesn't really mean anything at all. And I'm sure that it will be fine. I bet you a dollar, if anybody wants to bet me, that it's going to be fine. So, let me go into prayer. How's that? Holy Spirit, if we don't stop this laughter, people are going to think I was drinking. What I want to say is that I am grateful for the heart right now. That home in the heart. I am deeply grateful for its always being here, no matter what. I am deeply grateful that nothing can take that away. I'm also deeply grateful that I have discovered it. And I am deeply grateful that I live there so much of the time. And I think that's all I have to say. Amen. Ouch. Hold on one second. Okay. All right. So, shall we look at this? This message. Maybe some more people have entered the room. Let me paste it again. Maybe I should drink. I think there's a little bit of gin upstairs that Tristan left here. Maybe I should drink it. It's not much, but it might be nice. Maybe I will. We'll see. We'll see. It might help with the pain a little bit, huh? Okay, so we're looking at a message. When you look at each other, and at the top of the message is a little blue note I wrote, so let's read it and see what it says. Hello, friends. For a little while now, Laurent and I each felt an inner calling to reach a new level in our relationship together. While in Boston, this desire materialized in the form of a three-way communication with Spirit, which we call communion. This message came out of our first communion session. In love, Regina. All right, I have a story to tell. Ouch, sorry. You may hear that a few times. Just ignore the ouch when it comes. All right. So I told you guys already the story of the apparent rejection where, you know, Laurent suddenly moved out of my bedroom and into the guest room and avoided me in the house, and I felt like I was being rejected, and I went to Spirit, and Spirit told me it was only my own belief in my own rejectability, and asked me not to believe that Laurent had rejected me, instead realize it was my own belief in my own rejectability, and after a couple of months of being very consistent in that acceptance that it was really only my own belief in my own rejectability that was hurting me, right? That it was healed. I told you that story. Well, shortly after the healing of the belief in my rejectability, Laurent left again, because as I've mentioned, he being from France, could only come for a certain length of time, and then he always had to leave and go back to France. So he left, because it was time. And when he came back, we actually met up in Boston because we were going to be speaking at Camp for Miracles together. And we spent a week in a little apartment that was given to us, and it was our first week alone. You want to go outside, Jamie? Okay, hold on. Hold on, everyone. You want to go outside? Well, I guess it was, partially because of the healing and the belief in rejectability that we would have come back together with this desire to take our relationship to a new level. And it's, a magnificent coincidence or workings of the universe that we would have come back together and had our first week ever alone in this apartment. Well, something began to happen in this apartment. We called it communion here. This was the very, very small beginning of what began to happen. But what this led up to is what later we came to call speaking spirit. Some of you that knew us then may remember that what started to happen, although I had been a scribe for Holy Spirit for some time, able to hear this inner dictation and write it down. What began to happen was I began to be able to put myself aside enough that what I'm going to call spirit spoke through me. Only what really happened, I think, was that I just I put myself aside enough that I really was spirit. I don't really know. But what began to happen was that Laurent could have conversations with Holy Spirit through me. And since he had a belief at the time that he could not hear spirit directly, this was very, very helpful to him. And so this came out of this experience that we called communion. It came out of some kind of a joining that happened. It came out of, I really believe it came out of my healing of my belief in my rejectability. Because what began to happen, and I don't think I'm going to be going over those messages on Sunday night, the spirit speaks, or whatever we called it, but those are on reginadonacres.com if you want to go listen to them. What really began to happen was that Laurent could talk to Holy Spirit about anything through me, including his feelings about me, which really still weren't what we would call romantic love. He still had a lot of trouble with being with me. He did not find me attractive. A big part of his mind really didn't like me at all. And so it was very difficult for him. And yet at the same time, his heart told him that this was exactly where he wanted to be, and he wanted very much to be there. So it's kind of like these two things were going on at once. And so through the healing of my belief in my rejectability, I was able to put myself aside enough that he could join with Spirit, and he could even talk very, very honestly about his feelings in me, about me. Ouch, sorry, I shook my head. I shouldn't have done that. he could talk to Spirit about his feelings about me, and there was nothing in me that got in the way of him having perfect communication with Spirit. Perfect communication with Spirit. And so although this is still a written message, to be honest, this was the beginning of that shift of the messages being slightly different, in that they were coming from this place of communion in me, this joining in me, that although there had been a joining before, it was more so because it was no longer hindered by that belief in rejectability. Now, with that said, another thing that was going on in Boston was a lot of stuff was coming up. So, you know, this shouldn't be imagined, even though it was our first week alone, as this really romantic week, because it wasn't. And, you know, one of the things that was really coming up, even though the belief in rejectability was healed, was still that sense of really feeling that we belong together, for now, at least, and at the same time, Laurent really having a hard time accepting that. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic. So, with that said, that's the story behind this message, so let's have a look at this message and see what it says. The question that was asked was, how do we not fear each other? And here is the answer. The question that you have asked is a good first question. As if we hadn't asked any questions before, so you can tell this is some kind of a new start here. It's a good first question. And I want to take you deeper than your question in order to give you the answer that you seek. For your question is truly deeper than the words you have used. You ask, how do we not fear each other? But in that question, you have put an idea of each other. Of course, wherever there is an idea of other, there is fear, because other is not truthful or natural. Therefore, the idea must engender fear. Your true question has nothing to do with each other, although you experience an each other and you project your fears and judgments there. Each other is truly nonsense, and this is what you know and want to see. So your true question is not, how do we not fear each other? Your true question is, how do we not fear? Do you see how that is a better question? Do you see how that is truly the answer you seek together as one? It is not each other that you fear. It is fear itself that seems to be the issue. It is fear itself that keeps you paralyzed and afraid of being you. So let's dive below the surface of your seeming question and look at the meat of what you truly want to know. How do we stop listening to our ideas of fear? Now, of course, it is very interesting that Spirit would have started off by totally rephrasing our question, because the truth is there was an error in our question. You know, I'm reminded now of that movie, Peaceful Warrior, where Socrates tells Dan Mendelman that he needs to learn to ask better questions. And that's really what happened here, is that the question we asked made an assumption that there was a Laurent and a Regina, and that that somehow we were still the cause of what was coming up that week. He was the cause of what was coming up for me, and I was the cause of what was coming up for him. And we wanted very much to be together, and yet there seemed to be this something that was that just wouldn't let us come together, you know. And of course, that whole perception is an error. So for spirit to address that perception directly would be to make the error real. And hold on, Jamie wants back in. So spirit did not address the question asked because the question itself was an error. Instead, spirit started off by reframing the question and redirecting our attention to see that the real cause of anything that was coming up for me that week, or the real cause of anything that was coming up for him that week, was just what we were listening to in our own mind, right? And so the question about, you know, the idea of separation was taken out of the question. And the question was rephrased to, how do we stop listening to our ideas of fear? And then Holy Spirit continued, fear is an addiction, which we have already touched upon. And if you were here last week, you know that that was addressed a little bit in last week's message. An addiction is nothing but a habit, as I have told you before. All habits take focus to change, which means you cannot be lazy if you want to change a habit. In laziness, habit is maintained. This is why I have told you that the habit of fear is lazy. And this sentence, that the habit of fear is lazy, came in a message, you know, really months before this one. But what spirit is referring to is that if we do not put some attention on the idea of changing old habits remain exactly the same. So the next paragraph. In your realm of experience, two can be better than one, and this is why you have come together. You have come together because you are aware of this advantage, and you want this help that you have made available to yourself. You want this partnership. You feel these words deeply because you recognize this is the path you have chosen together. As I mentioned, there was a bit of difficulty going on because, you know, I think it seems to me, maybe it was actually on both of our parts. I was going to say, it seems to me that that mostly, of course, we'll just start with that and then we'll correct it. How's that? Let's start with the error and then let's correct it. It seems to me that mostly it was on the part of Laurent, in that he still, even though that feeling of rejectability was healed in me, he still had the belief in rejectability, right? So he still felt a strong desire to reject me. I wasn't directly hurt by it in the way that I was before, but he still had that strong desire. And probably what I had, my error in the situation, was I had a lack of faith in him. I think that was probably expressed in a message that I would have read either last week or the week before. I think my frustration was in the message that I felt like Laurent still wasn't getting it. And the very first thing Holy Spirit did was correct me. You know, that was the person's is just experience message. Holy Spirit again corrected my idea of separation, you know, the idea that I'm getting it but Laurent's not. By saying that You know, there are just questions and there are just answers, and it's all happening in one mind. Maybe some of you remember that. So I think that both of us had the thought of, you know, what the hell am I doing here? both of us had the thought of breaking up. And yet at the same time, like I said, there was this strong undercurrent feel that at least at this time we belong together. And so what Spirit is addressing here is that undercurrent feel. You know, he's saying that our desire to awaken, our willingness to awaken, was well matched. And that although we could certainly focus on our ego thoughts and, you know, break up this relationship, it wasn't what we wanted. Because what we really wanted was to heal our minds. And there was something in us that knew that we were actually perfectly matched and that we could be a significant help to each other. And we wanted this more than we wanted to believe, you know, the thoughts that she's not good enough for me, or, you know, he's not catching on as fast as I am. The separation thoughts, right? So again, he's bringing our attention to our heart, because our minds are not really speaking our truth. Although we may have been focused on our minds and a lot was coming up for us and we were having trouble being together, our minds were not focused on our truth. So for us to be focused on what our minds was saying was really not to be focused on our own truth, on our own true desire. The truth was we wanted very much to be together because we wanted very much to join in healing. So Spirit is just refocusing us on that. And again, he says, in your realm of experience, two can be better than one. And this is why you have come together. You know, it's funny. I'm gonna tell another little story. When Laurent and I were originally guided to be together, neither one of us really were certain that we wanted it. And it was a couple months of guidance continually coming before we finally surrendered to the guidance and decided to join together. I'm trying to find Ecclesiastes in the Bible, but I don't know if I know exactly where it is. It must be back here. A part of the guidance that came was a scripture. It's kind of funny. The scripture came to me in email. Like two or three different people sent it to me for a totally different reason. What they were trying to tell me was that NTI and Way of Mastery went together. But when I saw the scripture, oh, I can't find it right now. I don't want to waste too much time. I wish I knew the Old Testament as well as I know the New Testament. Let me look at the beginning here, see if there's something that will tell me what page. Yeah, sure enough. So let's see. Where is Ecclesiastes? Okay, page 350. As soon as I saw the scripture, although people had a different reason for sending it to me, as soon as I saw the scripture, I knew in my heart that this scripture was guiding Laurent and I to be together. And when I told Laurent that I really did realize that's what was going on, he didn't agree with me. And of course, that was because he was resisting the guidance, just as I had been until the scripture came to me. But then he told me, like a couple days later, he went to this store. He was looking at, it has both music and movies, and he was looking at music, but this movie kept attracting his attention. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was a Western, or maybe it was a spiritual movie. I don't remember the name of it. But anyway, this movie kept attracting his attention. And so he decided it was guidance to get it, and he got it and took it home and was watching it. And he said it was this horrible movie. He really hated it. And he was wondering why he was watching it. And then, for some reason that I don't quite understand, right in the middle of the movie, they put this full screen, you know, like a PowerPoint slide, and it was the exact same scripture. The scripture comes from Ecclesiastes 4, and it is verses 9 to 11. And here's what the scripture was. Are you ready? Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? So that's the scripture that came to me, which made me realize that I needed to surrender to this guidance to join with Laurent. And then later, you know, within a couple of days, the same scripture came to him in a movie. And notice that Spirit is really referencing back to that scripture that we received as guidance in this paragraph. It says, in your realm of experience, two can be better than one. And this is why you have come together. You have come together because you are aware of this advantage and you want this help that you have made available to yourself. You want this partnership. You feel these words deeply because you recognize this is the path you have chosen together. When you look at each other, recognize you have chosen each other as helpfulness in reaching your truest of desires, and that truest of desire is to let go of fear. You have made this choice because you know that fear is the only true obstacle to love, and so above all else, you want to let go of fear. Therefore, because you have decided it will be this way, you shall let go of all fear through partnership. It will be helpful if you see this as already done, even as you seem to walk through the experience of letting it go. When you look at each other, you can remember that the one your eyes rest upon is your symbol of no fear, which is love. You can remember that you have chosen each other because you want the same thing. You can remember that you do not look upon the one who wants to judge you. When your eyes look upon each other, you are looking upon yourself. So you are looking upon the one that is the reflection of your truest desire to be free of fear, the one who wants this freedom the same as you. And you look upon the one who has come to you in this exact form in order to help you, in order to enable you to do exactly what you have come to do. You look upon the one you have chosen to join with you in letting go of fear. So again, Holy Spirit is telling us that, you know, when we look at each other and I listen to my stories of, really, you could say they were my stories of he's not good enough, you know, and he was listening to his stories of she's not good enough. And then I suppose we sensed that judgment in each other, which, you know, would make us not comfortable with each other, not feel in partnership with each other, Well, we were just completely in our wrong minds. And the funny thing is, even though this seems to be a message about Laurent and me, it's not. It's a message about each and every one of us and whoever the heck is in our life now. Everybody that's in our life now. It doesn't matter whether it's coworkers, boss, romantic partner, children, parents. This choice to be together is there. And when we listen to whatever thoughts we have about the other person that are coming from the wrong mind, we are not listening to our truth. The truth is that every single person that is given to us in our life is given to us to help us awaken. That's the only true purpose for any relationship. And so if I'm looking at my husband or my wife or my parents or my children or my siblings or my boss or my co-workers or my employees or my friends, and I'm thinking thoughts of, you know, how annoying they are, how much they judge me, how much they bug me, how much they don't understand me, you know, just the list continues on and on and on and on and on. I am not listening to my truth. The truth is that every single person that is in my awareness is given for the purpose of helping me to remember myself. And on top of it, that's what I really, really, really want. I want to remember myself. And so if I will remember my heart, remember my truth, remember, you know, why the relationships that are in my life are here, then when I look in the eyes of that seeming other, I feel gratitude. It doesn't even matter if the relationship is challenging, because I understand that the challenges are there to help me awaken. And I meet the challenges differently with that realization than I do if that realization is forgotten and hidden under some lie that my mind is telling me. So, if everyone would listen to this message as if it is written to you, because it is, and as if it is written about the relationships in your life, because it is, then you might find something really, really helpful in this message. And so Holy Spirit continues. And so you ask, how do we let go of our ideas of fear? And I answer you in complete joy when I say, are you ready? This is about you and your relationships. By looking upon one another and remembering your purpose together, you do much more than you imagine in the process of letting go of all ideas of fear. This is your first step. So what Spirit is asking us to do is to allow a shift in perception. And that shift in perception is to stop listening to whatever yada, yada, yada the ego is saying about the people in our lives. And instead, look at every person, no matter how they're acting, no matter what they're believing, look at every person in our life and remember our purpose together. Remember that they are there for our awakening. They are there to help us let go of what is not true. They are there to help us remember ourselves. And Spirit says if we will do just this one thing, we do much more than we imagine in letting go of all ideas of fear. So that's that message. The next message is called How to Experience Not Love. It's kind of a reverse psychology type of message. And if you are in the message called When You Look at Each Other, you can just scroll back to the top and you'll see a link on the right that says How to Experience Not Love, and you can click on that. For those of you who are not yet in that message and would like to be, I'm going to paste a link for you. This is the link to the message that is called How to Experience Not Love. And again, this was still in that week in Boston. And the question is, Spirit, is there anything you would like to share with me or us? looks like I still had some thoughts of separation there. But I corrected myself. Is there anything you would like to share with me or us before communion? I open entirely to you. And Spirit says, this feeling of not being loved or respected is a feeling coming from ideas or beliefs in your own mind. Now, it's funny, I mentioned that the idea of rejectability had been healed in me. But there were still some very similar flavor ideas that had yet to come up for healing, that came up for healing over the next several months. They weren't really that belief that I was rejectable, but they were, like it says here, the belief that I was not being loved. You know, it was more, and the way that, again, the way that showed up in my mind now was more like Laurent wasn't getting it. You know, like if he would get this, if he would get this, you know, what we were really doing together, you know, like Spirit told us yesterday, he would love me. And I don't think I cared that awful much at this point to go back to that romantic love that we experienced in December. But I wanted very much to know that I had a commitment in this partnership for healing. And it was my perception that he was holding back. So it was a slightly different flavor. Like, I didn't have that same hurt that I had from believing I was rejected, but I still kind of thought, you know, like I said, he's not all there. He's not getting it. You know, so again, this feeling of not being loved or respected is a feeling coming from ideas or beliefs in your own mind. He must have been feeling the same way. And I'm sure that, you know, you could say, if I was feeling that way of him, then of course he would feel that way of me. Because if I'm thinking he's not all there, he's holding back, then guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be holding back too. And so he's going to sense that. So it's kind of like, you know, the two go together. You know, so which comes first? Him holding back or me holding back? Who can define it? You know, who can define it? In my perception, it's him. And in his perception, it's me. The truth is, neither one of us are fully committed. We're both holding back and we're both, ouch, thinking it's because of the other one. So this feeling of not being loved or respected is a feeling coming from ideas or beliefs in your own mind. You have ideas about how love or respect should be. And so when behavior or evidence does not measure up to those ideas or definitions in your own mind, you feel let down, disappointed, or deflated, as you shared this morning. The deflation, however, is merely a chosen experience, since love cannot be taken away and the wind is always beneath your wings. One thing, it's kind of funny because as I do these teachings on my relationship with Laurent, I talk a lot about the, quote, problems that we had. But the funny thing is in spite of all of that, we actually were joined the whole time. That's what's really funny. So, you know, we weren't like in separate rooms, with the exception of the little rejection scene. We weren't over in separate rooms. We were always talking together about what was going on. And so that's what Spirit is referring to here when he says, you know, you'll feel let down, disappointed, or deflated as you shared this morning. That was in our conversation with each other when we were each sharing our perspective of the other. You know, we didn't feel like the other one was there. However, Holy Spirit is telling us that our perception of let down, disappointed, or deflated is just a chosen experience. Because love cannot be taken away and the wind is always beneath our wings. Holy Spirit continues. You may continue to choose this experience of deflation if you want to, and I will tell you exactly how to do it. Here comes the reverse psychology. Continue to tell yourself, this is how love will look. This is how I will know I am respected. This is the outward evidence I will see. With these definitions, you will have highs where there will be a lot of wind beneath your wings, and you will have lows where the wind will seem to be taken away completely. Of course, both are illusion. The wind that truly carries your wings is constant and unvarying. It has no highs or lows, but it is pure strength. It cannot fail. When you cast your eyes on pure strength, you have found love and undying respect. And then once you have found it, you are not looking for it. You only want to give it. Because taking what you have found and giving it, is the flow that is the current of wind that keeps your wings steady with joy. Now that's an interesting point. First of all, Spirit is saying that neither one of us were actually thinking about how can I support you? We were both looking to say, are you supporting me? And then we each had our own ideas about what that support in this relationship looked like. And neither one of us saw the other one giving in the way that we thought giving should look like. And so we were both feeling left out. So the first thing Spirit is saying is don't define what this giving looks like, what this mutual support looks like. And then just trust that it's there regardless of appearances. Trust that it cannot not be there, right? And then when you see that everything the other person says or everything the other person does in order to, well, who cares why? Everything the other person says or everything the other person does is there to help you awaken. It doesn't need to look a certain way. When you see that, when that is your perspective, then again, what touches your heart is gratitude. And then what you want to do is you want to give the support to the other one. You want to be helpful to the other one. So instead of saying that person in my relationship would listen, or that person in my relationship would never say that, or that person in my relationship would always say this, or whatever, you know, if that person was being truly supportive, instead of that, let go of that and trust that no matter what that person says or does, Spirit is behind it, and that it is being said or done in order to help you awaken. That nothing can actually happen for any other reason. And then with that
perspective, you will feel gratitude for anything, for everything. And out of gratitude, your only desire will be to give. And we understood this. Although we weren't sharing that clarity in the moment, we understood this. Otherwise, our relationship wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. Our relationship was actually based on this idea that the only reason we were together was to help each other awaken. But sometimes we forgot to remember that. And so I asked, how do we keep our eyes on this strength? And Holy Spirit said, you must notice the definitions of love that you carry in your mind. Anything that says love looks like this is wrong. You must be willing to look at these definitions and see them as wrong. Even more, see these definitions of love as the exact ideas that create the experience of not love. When you observe for yourself that these ideas are the creator thoughts which provide the experience of not love, you will surrender your definitions and ideas for the strong, undying breeze that is the real thing. It is always with you. So all expectations are just a setup for judgment. And wherever we choose to believe our expectations, we will find the opportunity to judge, and then we will experience not love, right? So just stop for a moment. And then just ask yourself, what do I expect from my romantic partner that proves that one loves me? And every single idea that comes to mind, be willing to toss it out. Because every single idea that comes to your mind is just a setup to let you have the feeling of not loved at some point. And then ask, what do I expect from my parents in order for me to feel loved? And every single idea that pops into your mind, throw away. Because each and every idea that pops into your mind is a setup, an opportunity for you to, at some point, feel not loved. And then ask, what do I expect from my children in order to know that I am loved or respected? And every single idea that comes into your mind, be willing to throw away. Because every one of those ideas is there to help you feel not loved at some point, not respected at some point. And then ask, what do I expect from my friends in order to prove to me that I am loved or respected? And every single idea that comes into your mind, be willing to throw away. Because every single idea that comes into your mind is there to help you feel not loved at some point. And then go ahead and continue that. What do I expect from my boss to show that I am respected? What do I expect from my coworkers? What do I expect from my employees to prove that they respect me? And then every single idea that comes into your mind, be willing to throw away. Because every one of those ideas is there to help you at some point feel not respected. You see, expectations are nothing but a part of duality. Heck, you know what? Let's go ahead. Let's do it with God, with Holy Spirit. What do we expect from God or Holy Spirit to prove that we are loved? Why don't we go ahead and throw those ideas away too? Because maybe they're just there to keep us disappointed, to keep us feeling like we aren't loved, to keep us feeling separate. Spirit isn't there for me. Every expectation is there to reinforce the belief in separation. And then the flip side of this is, when all of the expectations are gone, what we can do is that trust that everything that is said, everything that is done, every circumstance that arises, regardless of its appearance, comes to us on the wings of love in order to help us awaken, in order to help us remove the blocks to love's presence. In order to help us remember self, remember truth. And there is absolutely nothing that can be said or done. There is no circumstance that can arise in this universe that does not have that purpose. And if we choose to see that in all things, not only do we see that all things are love, and not only are we able to feel gratitude for all things, but we're also able to discover the blocks to love's presence in our own mind and willingly let them go as quickly as possible. There is nothing, probably, that delays us better than blame. Whether we're blaming a person, whether we're blaming a circumstance. So that's what this message is about, how to not love. How to feel not loved is what I mean. I think that's the message. Let's go up and look at the top again. What was it? How to experience not love. That's it. How to experience not love is to set up expectations for what love looks like. How to experience not respected is to set up expectations for what respect looks like. Those expectations allow us to feel its opposite. And if we can look at our expectations of others and our expectations of situations and realize that that's really their purpose, maybe we'll be a lot more willing to let go of our expectations. And maybe we'll be a lot more willing to let all things be as they are, with the understanding that all things come from love. And that's it for me for tonight. I actually won't be here next Sunday night. Dove, I'll write you an email Laurent also cannot be here next Sunday night, so everyone listening, next Sunday night from 7 to 8 Eastern Time is open. If anybody feels guidance to teach during this time, let Dove know. And I'll be back the following week, so I'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you very much, everyone, and I love you. Bye.